Welcome to the Leadership Podcast with Pastor Sam Carr. Here you'll learn godly principles and real-world techniques for leading effectively.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Pastor Sam Carr, and you probably already know that if you listen to this podcast. But it's so good to be with you today, and I've got my friend Pastor John Welch from The Dwelling Place with me today again. John, welcome.
Pastor Sam, it's good to be here, and I say this every time I get to do podcasts with you, and it is a privilege to sit across the table from you.
Well, you know, I appreciate you doing them with me. I know it's a terrible analogy, but it's like Roy Rogers and Gabby Hayes. You know? Only problem is I'm the Gabby Hayes and you're the Roy Rogers, but it's good to have you with me. And if you listen, if you're from another country, you probably don't know who that is. But
or sometimes or in a sense, younger another generation,
you don't know who that is. But John, I want to talk on this podcast, and we're probably going to hook up with this for a while, about what drains a leader's life. Mm-hmm. Because I have watched leaders who have tremendous ability, yet their lives seem to be drained and they're not able to fulfill what they really could, because they allow things in their lives that actually are draining their lives rather than imparting to them to be able to go stronger. And I'm going to kind of jump into this way today, because I want you to do that. You preached last night, and you shared the story about David and his older brother and the fact that the enemy was trying to distract David from the real fight. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk about that a minute, because that's something that leaders have to face all the time.
Absolutely.
It drains their life.
That's right. Yeah.
And so why don't you just go through that story? I know I've already introduced it, but just go through it and let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yes, sir. Well, of course, this is most everybody knows about the epic battle between David and Goliath, and it's probably one of the most known stories in the Bible. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is there were a series of battles that David had the opportunity to engage in, I'll say it that way,
right,
prior to the moment that he stepped out on the battlefield with Goliath.
Right.
And one of those battles was with Eliab. And when David stepped out and heard Goliath make the offer to fight before, I could say it this way, before David really picked the fight, before David picked the fight with Goliath, of course, he volunteered to do that, and he voiced that. And the moment that he voiced that, Eliab, his older brother, attacked him and verbally began to accuse him of things that really weren't true about David.
And that happens in the ministry all the time, and
absolutely,
we don't connect the dots.
Absolutely, absolutely. It happens all the time, and you are exactly right. It's a huge drain on
yes.
a leader. But it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't.
So what happened was that when Eliab said that about David, David never responded. In other words, he didn't engage in that battle with Eliab and begin to argue and say,
yes,
no, I'm not who you're saying that I am.
That's exactly right.
Nor did he go to people that were around would have heard Eliab say that and begin to speak with them and say that, look, what Eliab is saying about me is not true. In other words, he didn't try to defend himself.
Let me just stop right there, John, because I see pastors do those two things all the time, and leaders. I see them, number one, they want to rebut arguments, and all the while the challenge is out there in front of you and you're not dealing with it because you're too busy dealing with things that have nothing to do with what God wants you to do.
That's right.
The sad thing about it is I know leaders, and their whole goal is to to make everything smooth. And so they're always talking to people about, well, you know, I didn't really mean that, or maybe you misunderstood how I really meant that, and they'll waste so much time.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, David wasn't going to change Eliab's mind.
No way.
I mean, his motives, his intentions were totally impure. They weren't right.
Absolutely.
And David could have spent days trying to convince his older brother. And I like what you said when Wednesday night. You said who he respected.
Yeah.
You know, he was his older brother, but he respected him.
Absolutely, especially in that culture.
Exactly.
Eliab, as far as the family lineage is concerned, was the man.
Yeah.
I mean, the oldest brother, yeah. and of course, David was the youngest.
Yeah.
And so he would have, in David's eyes, would have been very highly respected.
Right.
And which could have wounded David.
Yeah.
It could have hurt
sure.
him. And everybody yeah. is open to that. Everybody's
right.
vulnerable to that.
Right.
Every leader,
absolutely.
Every person. But so what happened was that David turned from Eliab.
That's good.
Turned from that. In other words, he could have engaged in that battle,
right.
but he didn't. He could have expended energy. And he
That's
could have
right.
wasted a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And he turned from that battle, and he turned to the battle that mattered the most.
That's exactly right.
That mattered the
yeah.
most. And people say, well, why did that one matter more than the one with Eliab?
Yeah.
One of the reasons, and probably the main reasons, is that battle with Goliath affected others.
Right.
It affected his people.
Sure.
It affected his king.
Exactly.
It affected God's plan.
Right.
And so it wasn't as much about David, but it was about God's purpose.
Yeah,
and it was
that's
about
very
others.
Good. Yeah.
And because it affected other people. And so yeah. our vision, whatever it is that God's given us to do as leaders, the enemy's constantly trying to set us up. Because we only have X amount of energy, we only have X amount of time.
That's right.
And if we're falling into that trap that the enemy is trying to set with Eliab,
yeah.
then we lose sight of the biggest battle, the one that affects other people.
And John, the thing about it is too, and normally when you are pulled aside, and that's bottom line, that's mm-hmm. what you are. Normally when you're pulled aside like that, it's not somebody that you can. I hate to use the word blow off, but you know they're like that all the time.
Yes.
It's always going to be somebody like the elder brother who seems to be important.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And Jesus had to deal with that in his own ministry. They were always saying, you know, well, they want to see you. That so and so wants to talk to you
all the time.
And Jesus would say, well, that's nice, but I'm busy.
All the time.
You know, I'm
yeah.
doing what I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what my Father called me to do. And so I've experienced that in my own ministry many years ago when we first, really in our first building program. And let me tell you, if you're a pastor,
yeah, I know you're
and
going.
You're
going
to build something, you might as well get ready.
That's
you're
right.
going to lose people.
Yep.
You're
going
to lose people who seem to be of stature.
Yep.
Because there's a spirit that works
yep.
to try to stop you from building that building.
It gets crazy, Pastor.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But we had a couple who we trusted. They had supported the ministry from the beginning, and I mean, we just loved them, and we started this building program, which we desperately needed, and they came in and they just blasted us.
Mm-hmm.
It shocked us.
Mm-hmm.
It just blasted us. And there for a moment, we slipped into that mode of what are we going to do about them? How
yep.
are we going to change this? What can we do to get make this right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, wait a minute, I've got to build this building.
That's right.
If I do this, as sure as I get them settled, the enemy will prompt somebody else.
Yep.
And you'll end up chasing people.
That's right.
Rather than accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish.
That's right. And you know, and so what happened there with you, Pastor Sam, is that you didn't necessarily try to defend yourself.
No.
You let your faith speak for itself.
Absolutely.
You know, David did not have to defend himself.
Exactly.
David's faith,
boy,
and David's
that is
act
so good.
Of courage
yes.
is what, think about this, the people that heard Eliab say what he said about
right.
David, there was no doubt after they saw Goth's best go down, there was no doubt in their
yeah.
mind that David was a man
yeah,
of God. And
that's
what
right.
Eliab said was not accurate.
Exactly.
Was not true.
And he didn't have to answer, God answered.
Didn't say I have to say a word.
Exactly.
Didn't have to say a word.
Yeah.
And what happened was, and we know this scripturally, is that those men began to follow David.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And created confidence and courage.
Yes.
And they began to follow David. And
yeah.
what Eliab said got lost in that victory.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so you don't, as leaders, you don't always, very rarely do you have to defend yourself.
Yes.
Just let your faith and let what God's doing
exactly
through you. It'll speak.
Because, listen, I just want you to hear what John's saying. That is such a drain on your life. And the devil
you're
will
so
tell
right,
you,
Pastor.
Well, you're in the people business. Well, you ought to be trying to. But listen, that's not being in the people business, trying to get somebody who thinks wrongly of you to think right of you.
That's right.
That's not the people business.
That's right.
You know,
another thing, Pastor, that it's important to understand when those opportunities to get engage in battles that really don't matter,
right,
will drain you.
Right.
I would dare say 95% of the time, and you've been doing this for 40 years, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the minority.
Always is, but it sounds like the majority.
That's right, and the enemy will try to convince you that it's the majority, but it's not. It's the minority.
And convince you, if you don't resolve this, because, you know, basically what this couple wanted was they want us to take time with them.
Mm.
Well, we were busy with the kingdom, but they wanted us to go to dinner with them. They wanted us, you know, really, to be honest with you, to be their personal priest.
It's a good way to say that.
And thank God it hurt us because it took us so by surprise. Mm-hmm. But yet, when we got away and we were able to pray, we realized, you know what? That's not what's important.
Wow.
What's important is what God wants us to do.
That's right.
And we're sorry for that.
Yeah.
And we hate it that they're going to leave the church, but I'm not going to chase them.
That's right.
You know, I mean, even the father didn't chase the prodigal son.
That's right.
You know, when he left, the father grieved over it, but he let him go.
That's right.
And I see pastors, especially, and I hate to say this, but it's true, who have big donors in their church,
mm-hmm,
have big influence in their church. I see them chasing them around.
Right.
You know. And it'll steal your time.
All right.
It's a thief.
You know, Pastor, you know? I had someone one time ask me about the scenario that we're talking about, which, again, happens all the time in every minister's life. And they said, well, what about the 99 and 1? And the 99 sheep stayed
there
and Jesus went. I said, well,
that's good.
Here's what you need to see there. The one was one that got lost.
That's right.
Not left.
Exactly right.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
There's a big difference.
People have choices in their own lives.
That's right.
And you can't look. Even my experience has been people like that try to steal your time.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not talking about legitimate needs.
That's right.
I'm talking about people who are just trying to drain out of you to keep you from doing what God's called you to do. Most of the time, you could not say anything to change their mind.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and what you said, John, and this is the key to the whole thing, just let your faith answer.
That's right.
With that particular situation, they left. We built the building without them and built many buildings since,
that's right,
you know, without them. And sadly, he and his wife both passed away prematurely. Now, I'm not saying it had anything to do with us.
No.
But the point is, we couldn't. There was nothing we could do for them,
right,
to help them.
Right.
And so they left. They didn't get lost. They left.
That's right.
And then, boom, everybody saw, hey, they left over this, and they missed the best part. We're celebrating
right,
a new building.
That's
We're celebrating what God's done, and they missed it.
That's right. Yeah.
And anybody with much wisdom, once they see that, it's just like David's mighty men, they'll start following.
That's right. They'll do it.
They'll follow you.
Absolutely.
So I like what you said last night. Don't let fate lead you.
That's right.
Let faith lead you. Because fate is not something that God is going to control in your life. It's something that the world's going to control and that the enemy's going to control.
That's right.
You've got to go a different direction. Well, I hope you got something out of that today, and I believe you did. I would encourage you to go online and just listen to John's message at Word of Life Center from
April
the 18th, mm-hmm, Wednesday night, and listen to the whole message because it was really, really encouraging. Thank you for listening today. We're so glad you were with us today. Thanks, John, for being with me.
God bless you, Pastor.
And
thank you for the privilege.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on the podcast. The Leadership Podcast is part of Word of Life Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. You can connect with Pastor Carr or Word of Life Ministries on our Facebook, Twitter, or at our website, wordoflifecenter.org.